All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for Game 3 between the Brewers and the Giants. What a series this has been so far. We do have our Original Joe's contest going on. I guess the score of today's game, dinner for two at Original Joe's, North Beach, Westlake, or West Portal. Just tweet in the answer to @BaseballMarty. And where are you listening today? We've got people listening all over the country and all over the world today. Portland was the last one that I saw that they tweeted in. The other thing I want to say before we join Thomas Harding of MLB.com, who covers the Rockies, Raf has done a great job. And I can do the show from home, and Bill and Kerry can do it easily too. But Raf has got to get to the studio. And we were on at 7 o'clock today, so about 5:30 he was on the move. And Raf, you've done a great, great, great job of putting these shows together. You are in the studio, and you are the heartbeat of what we're doing. All right. Thomas Harding joins us, MLB.com. He covers the Rockies. Thomas, a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
I feel good. I feel clean. Hey, you're watching Giants and Brewers, two of maybe the four or five most fun teams in baseball to watch. That's got to be a blast.
It is. And, you know, honestly, they're good pitching. Both teams can have good starting pitching. Both teams have a good bullpen. Brewers, you know, maybe don't hit as well as the Giants do, but they've used everybody in these first two games. So today we'll see what's left as the third game happens today. It's Brett Anderson and Cueto.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when you watch the Brewers, that's the thing. You always wonder, are they going to run out of steam? And they never do. They kind of keep getting better as the season goes. But you're right. They throw everything at you. And in their park, they are known, it seems like, to come up with different big things at big times. But, yeah, the Brewers are fun, and the Giants are an absolute blast right now.
Yeah. The Brewers play well at home. The Giants have one of the best records in baseball on the road. When the Giants score first, how about this, 48-12, and that's number one in Major League Baseball. So that's one of those stats you wonder. But if you get the lead on the Giants, they know how to put a little pressure on you after that. But let's talk Rockies.
Yes.
The Rockies, since the break, are 10-10. They're 50-61. Now, this was a team earlier in the year. It looked like they were going to win about 40 games for the whole season. They've turned it around quite a bit. The Giants have the Rockies for four coming up next weekend. Let's figure out what's going on with them. But 10-10 since the break.
Yeah, 10-10 since the break, but here's the figure to look at when you want to look at the Rockies and say that they've improved. They are 6-7 in their last 13 road games.
Wow.
They were on their way to being the worst road team ever, and now they are 6-7 in their last 13 road games. They're pitching well. They have found a little bit of home run power, and that's the difference. I mean, me covering a Colorado Rockies team that couldn't hit home runs but pitched well, I didn't know what I was looking at out there. But, you know, five home runs a couple of nights ago against the Marlins, four against the Cubs. On the last road trip, they went to Los Angeles, Anaheim, and San Diego, and they had two four-homer games and a three-homer game. I mean, so it looks like some of the younger parts are swinging the bats a little bit better. They've learned a few things as they go. What this is looking like to me is a team that has a pretty good starting rotation. And yeah, they could get more depth in the offseason, but the complementary parts seem to be there. This is a team that's going to have to go out and be bold in the offseason. If they're bold enough to get a couple of bats in here and maybe a little bit of veteran presence, can they be the Giants? I mean, I look at the Giants, and that was a team that going into last winter, a lot of people thought maybe they should blow it up. But that's not in their DNA. They kept their veterans together, and they were able to build enough complementary players around them. So can the Rockies do the opposite, meaning add to their complements and still have good pitching and compete next season?
Who are some of the young players that are now hitting the ball out of the park?
Brendan Rodgers, although he was hit with a pitch on his right hand last night, now they say it's a bruise, and we'll be checking this morning to make sure that is a true statement. But he was their number one pick a few years ago, and for a couple of years, you didn't see any of it at the big league level. It turned out that the Nolan Arenado trade was a big help to him because he was able to settle in. He was told, you are a starter. That makes a difference. Another hitter that's come on is Elias Diaz, the catcher, who I think is probably hitting in somewhere around 225, but he was about 120 early in the season. Since June 1st, he's hit, I think, all but one of his 13 home runs, and he's hitting them at home and on the road. Another guy that's kind of come around a bit at home is C.J. Cron that they brought in. He's hitting home runs at home. The thing about him is he is getting on base at a pretty good clip. And the other guy, he's not hitting for power, but he's really making a difference in the lineup, I believe, is Charlie Blackmon. He's hitting the ball the other way. He had a home run the other night. He has hit consistently home and road. Oh, one last thing. Since the trade deadline, Trevor Story has seemed to have found his stroke. So Trevor Story going back to San Francisco, where at times he has hit well, having found his swing, that may make it a little bit more competitive series for the Rockies.
Oh, very interesting. What about Trevor Story? Of course, he didn't get traded, and as he said, he was surprised he didn't get traded. Does this affect him for next year? Could he come back with the Rockies? Would they keep him?
I don't see that happening. I mean, I think the market for him would have to absolutely tank, and it just doesn't seem like that would happen for a shortstop. But the Rockies are holding out some hope. When their interim GM, Bill Schmidt, spoke to us the other day after the trade deadline, he's like, we like Trevor. We'd love to keep him around. Now, obviously they're going to extend him the qualifying offer, but I think once they see what's going on out there, there are a few teams that are not in a playoff race this year that may be in the market for a shortstop that may throw some money out there. The Rockies, they're holding a little bit of hope. I think a lot of things would have to happen, maybe things that Trevor Story didn't anticipate coming in the year for him to end up back with the Rockies.
Well, the starting rotation's been terrific. Marquez is lights out. Now, we saw Marquez earlier in the year against the Giants, and he was awful. A couple of starts in a row, remember, that he couldn't get anybody out, couldn't throw strikes. He's turned it around, an all-star. And the guy today, Kyle Freeland, looks like the rust is coming off, and he's pitching great as well. And the guy I love is Gomber. And at home, Gomber has figured out a way to win in Colorado. So what about the rotation?
Well, I think those three are big in it now. It'll be interesting, and I haven't really looked that far into the pitching matchups. If Marquez is going to pitch against the Giants, if you look at really the last, I guess, 3 years, it seems like some of his worst outings are against the Giants for some reason. Whether it's here, whether it's on the road, his very worst career outings have been against the Giants. But you look at that rotation, but also don't forget about John Gray. John Gray, who's pitched really well at home and consistently well everywhere, and this is a mature version of John Gray, as in, if he struggles early, the game doesn't get out of hand on him like it used to. I thought that he has pitched as well as anybody in that rotation, and he is talking about trying to stay with the Rockies on a multi-year deal. In fact, him going public, saying he wanted to be here, and the Rockies realizing, hey, finding pitching is difficult, that was the reason why he wasn't moved at the deadline.
Well, yeah, it's a good rotation. Now, here's a stat I saw today. The Rockies are number one in Major League Baseball for having the lead in the first five innings, and that's the starting rotation. Then things happen after that, and eventually it gets to Daniel Bard, and things still happen when he comes in. What about the bullpen?
Oh, the bullpen, the issue with the bullpen is this. They ended up trading Michael Givens, who was one of few veterans in there. Jolys Chacín, believe it or not, has turned out to be a pretty good late inning reliever. But when you look at Chacín and Bard, who struggled a bit with command at times, but lately he's pitched really well. You've got a bunch of guys that are not established major leaguers. And what this is looking like to me is a team that knows that it's not in the race, and they're going to keep feeding these guys. There are a number of rookies that they yo-yo back and forth between AAA and the majors. We're talking about Justin Lawrence, who's down in AAA. A couple of rookies that that are up. Lucas Gilbreth, who's from Colorado, he's been up and down. A few of those other guys, what they're doing is they're trying to figure out which arms they can depend on. And then the question for me is this offseason, do they go out and get a couple of veterans? I think they can't get tied to long-term contracts, but do they go out and get a couple of veterans to help stabilize that thing? Or do they go with the arms that they have? And then if they're in the race next year, trade for the veterans at the deadline like they've done in the past.
Well, you can piece together a bullpen. We've seen it with so many teams, and the Giants have guys coming back and forth, back and forth. You can put a bullpen together. Starting rotation's a little different, but bullpens can be put together. The Rockies are 37-21 at home, 50-61 overall. So, you know, there's a shot even at finishing at .500, and their run differential is minus 35. So, this Rockies team is playing better baseball. There's no question. I think you're absolutely right about that. Looking at the division, how do you feel about the division? Because the Rockies will have something to say about it.
Yes, they will. And you look at it, they seem to match up very well with the Padres. The last two series out there, they are, I think, 5-4 in San Diego, and they beat the Padres here. So when you look at where the Rockies could make a difference in the division, I think that's the team they match up well with. They have not matched up well with the Giants this year. They've played better baseball against the Dodgers, but those bullpen issues seem to trip them up. If they're able to stabilize some of that, maybe they can eke out a few wins against the Dodgers. As far as the Giants are concerned, it's been so long since those teams have been on the same field that I'm not sure how that looks, but early in the year, it just looked like the Rockies, even their best pitchers, could not figure out a way to get that lineup out. We'll see what happens as the year goes on.
Well, the other guy I like is Tapia at the top of the lineup. I think he's just an annoying leadoff hitter. He can make things happen.
Yeah, he missed a few games last weekend. I think he missed two games, a little bit more than two games, actually, with a toe injury. But you're right. And the interesting thing about him is at home, he gets a lot of doubles on softly hit balls the other way because it's such a big outfield and he's able to move so fast. He does have the ability to pull a ball into a gap, though, so he could be a threat at that ballpark in San Francisco also. And you're right, it does seem that he's annoying. And what's happened with Tapia is that if he's able to get on base, and often it's a double, but he's actually improved as a base stealer, putting Brendan Rodgers in the number two spot looks like a place for him to stay for a long time. I mean, a good opposite way stroke, and he can really turn on an inside pitch. We'll see what his health is like, but have they found their guy to kind of replace what DJ LeMahieu was for them for a number of years? We'll find out about that as the years go by.
Well, I like it. And Bud Black, one of my favorites, maybe he'll be back next year. Who knows? We'll get a new general manager too, and that usually changes things. Thomas, a pleasure having you on this morning. It's always a lot of fun to catch up with you, and I'm sure we're going to talk to you next weekend when the Rockies are here for four. So thanks for taking the time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's going to be fun out there. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there.
Oh, perfect. All right. That is Thomas Harding of MLB.com. All right. Bill is going to talk with Adam Copeland. Bill's got the talk back. Kerry is finished for today, and so am I. And next Saturday, we start at 2 o'clock next Saturday, and the Rockies will be in town. More coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.